Our gospel today is from the 10th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus sends out his disciples and gives them a little speech of encouragement. This first phrase is the one that really caught me. Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
God's beloved people. When Eric called and asked if I would do this today, I was in Alaska. And as soon as I got back, I came to St. Mark early in the week to get the printout of all the readings and prayers for the day. And I printed out the wrong Sunday. It was last Sunday's, which turned out to be a good thing, as the reading from Romans last week gave me my entry into today's gospel, especially those first words, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me," Jesus said. The Romans passage last Sunday was about baptism. Baptism into the death of Jesus. It said, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his, that we too may walk in newness of life. Baptism was my favorite thing to do. Baptism is my final and ultimate assurance and confidence. Sometimes during the week, when I'm brushing the teeth in the morning, I put my hand under the water and make the sign of the cross. Certainly every Sunday after communion, I dip my hand in the baptismal water and make the sign of the cross on my forehead. I remember my baptism, and I say to myself every Sunday, "David Ingvald, child of God, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever." It's a good thing to know who we are. We belong to him. We are his. We are Christ's with the apostrophe. To get it, it's a possessive. We're his. We belong to him. We are like the child being watched by her father as she attempts to nail her first box together. With great effort and care, she pounds each nail and tries to get the angles right, you know, and the sides even. And when she is done, she holds the box up to her father. And he can see where she has missed and damaged the wood, where the sides are not even, and how crooked it is. He takes the box in his big hands and holds it close to his face, looking at it. Looks at it all around and turns, looks down at his daughter and says, "Perfect. Just perfect." For sure we get it wrong, but we are always God's children. We are Christ's with the apostrophe. We belong to him. And we are Christ's without the apostrophe. As our gospel reminds us, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, Jesus says. Sending his disciples out on mission, Jesus gives them a little speech and encouragement. As his representatives, they carry an identity beyond their own. When they travel and preach and teach and heal, it is Jesus whose work will be done by their hands. The world will see Jesus through them. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, he says. When I was a pastor in Vancouver before I came up here, every Christmas Eve, after churches is walking out, Peter Schmallenberger would hand me a nicely wrapped Christmas present and say, "Give this to Jesus for me, will you?" I assured him always that I would. Now, how would you handle that? Who would you give it to? I thought of Matthew 25, which calls us to see Jesus in the least of these, the little ones, those who are hungry and thirsty and lonely, imprisoned. As he says, just as you did it to one of these, the least of these, you did it unto me. When we think about seeing Jesus in the world, encountering Christ in human form today, we usually think of Matthew 25. At least I do. But Matthew 25 is not the only way Jesus appears in our world today. In Matthew 10, today's gospel, Jesus appears not as the person in need, but as the person empowered to go forth to serve. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. We are Christ's with the apostrophe. And we are Christ's without the apostrophe. When we look in the mirror, we see Jesus' face looking back. Lucas is still of an age when it's okay for a boy to cry, especially when he falls down and scrapes his knee, which he did just a while ago. A friend of mine and Lucas's neighbor happened to be outside and heard his cry. He walked over to see if he could help, as did Lucas's two older brothers. They all asked in unison, "Are you okay? Did you hurt your knee?" They could plainly see he had, but they asked anyway. His mom came out, picked him up, hugged him, looked at his knee, and asked if he wanted a Band-Aid. He was still crying when my friend asked, "Would you like a licorice?" At the word licorice, Lucas stopped crying immediately. He looked at my friend and nodded yes. Ah, the healing power of licorice. Now, I tell this not recommending licorice in place of mom's holding and hugging, nor in place even of a Band-Aid. But licorice can help sometimes. When he asked Lucas if he wanted one, he was really saying, "I care about you." and without the blisters of my knees. It's a small thing, perhaps, this running a mile barefoot, or giving a neighbor kid a licorice. It may be a small thing, like maybe a glass of cold water. Yet it says, I care about you. It's how Jesus spent his life. It is what still attracts me to him. I'm kind of glad that today's gospel was about giving one of those little ones a cold glass of water, and not one of those stories about his raising the dead or walking on water or changing water into wine, you know, because they still confuse me some. And they seem far away from what I have experienced. But these little scenes, these brief encounters with ordinary people, they still encourage and invite me. Think again, just for example, of that story in John 4 where Jesus stops at Jacob's well and has a conversation with one of the women who has come there for water. Life has not been good for her. She has been married 5 times and working on a 6th. Jesus begins with the simple words, "Would you give me a drink?" He could have been saying, "Would you like a licorice? Or do you want me to run with you, Jack?" The words stop her. She listens. There is conversation. And there is healing. And each and every one of us can be in touch and respond to these stories. It's why we are attracted to Jesus. We like what he says and how he treated people. He was always, you know, leaning toward inclusiveness. He was always opening his arms in welcome to those who other folks wanted to keep out. He was never boring. He noticed people. He paid attention to people. And he was doing something all of us can do. So my niece, Kathy, ran a mile with all her blisters. And a friend asked, "Would you like a licorice?" And I think that they were doing something Jesus would do. Ordinary, common, everyday kind of compassion. We are Christ's without the apostrophe too. Last fall, I went to a seminary class reunion. A classmate, Gary Westgaard, who grew up in Longview just down the road, but has spent, I think, his whole ministry in South Dakota, did the meditations, and he tells this story. Gary and his wife Vivian were in Deadwood, South Dakota, for the South Dakota Festival of Books, and they stayed in a motel at the edge of town, and each morning enjoyed their breakfast in a second room, second story room. One morning, they glanced out the window and saw 2 small deer, delicate and precise, walking gently across the side of a rocky hill just outside the windows. There were 6 other diners in the room. 2 men at one table looked up and saw it. But there were 4 women at another table who didn't see it. So Gary walked over to them and pointed, inviting them to see the deer. 2 of the women did look up, but the other 2 continued to eat their bagels and cream cheese. and commented that they had seen deer before. There was no way, Gary said, that anyone could stop him from sharing the joy of seeing those deer. Pointing out the deer was as much fun as seeing them. And he saw something beautiful and good, and he wanted to tell his neighbors. Just so. We talk about, you know, the baseball game we attended, or the movie we saw, or the last trip we took. We talk about our children and our grandchildren and our nieces. Such sharing is not, you know, very difficult, huh? No one has to make us do it. It's something we want to do. But talking about our faith, you know, it is a whole different thing. Most of us become rather shy when there's opportunity to say something about that which is so much a part of our lives. We worship, we pray, we give, we work because of the faith that is in us. Yet to tell another about all that is difficult for most of us. But the truth is, we do speak and give witness to our faith whether we intend to or not, whether we say any word at all. You will be my witnesses, Jesus said in Acts. And today in Matthew, whoever welcomes you welcomes me and the one who sent me. How we conduct our lives gives evidence of what we believe. How we treat others speaks loudly about how God treats us. There's no guarantee anyone will notice or care even. They may just go on eating their bagels and cream cheese. Still, there is joy in being faithful to who we are. It feels good to live our lives as children of God. It was Martin Luther, I'm almost sure, who even dared to suggest that we who are followers of Jesus are little Christs in the world. We witness God's love not so that we may become children of God, but because we already are children of God. In other words, we are Christ's with the apostrophe, and we are Christ's without the apostrophe. And just so, grace and peace and all that good stuff is alive and well among us. Amen.